Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
And Overnight America continues. So, a couple things to get to, and I have some more clips from the press conference earlier today. What's nice about being live on a Sunday night is you get to be the first to hear it. All the other talk shows will be playing these exact same clips on Monday. So I get to it first. I get to plant my flag in it, so that's very nice. I wanted to read this one text message. It says, Trump wants to use unproven drug and give it a try. Doctor said good way to kill people. Hopefully economy will end the apprentice president. There are people that hate the president so much they would rather have people die from the coronavirus in the economy tank to get him out of office. That is so sad. And that's almost the definition of Trump derangement syndrome, actually. I wanted to play this clip from Thursday of last week. I played this right at the end of the show, and it's worth repeating. And by the way, we have Drex coming in at 12:30. Really looking forward to hooking back up with him. He's the late night show host in Vancouver, and we do this on Sunday nights, which is really cool. And we'll do that here in about 23 minutes from now. All right, so Joe Rogan, arguably the biggest podcast in the world. I don't think there's anyone that gets more listens than he does, by far. Influential. And he's someone that said he would vote for Bernie Sanders. He threw his support behind Bernie. And he talked about this whole thing about, good way to kill people. Now, I had to bleep out a couple of swear words. So keep in mind, yes, there is. It's a little vulgar, but, you know, it's okay because it's bleeped out. Now, take a listen to how Joe Rogan, by the way, not someone that necessarily likes the president, but doesn't like this baloney that surrounds him.
Like algae.
Yeah.
And going back, and he's, by the way, referring to algae. This refers to that one person that took the goldfish algae cleaner or whatever, thinking that it was the same stuff as what the president was talking about for the what they're fighting the coronavirus with.
Like algae.
Yeah.
Bacteria killer. It's for koi ponds.
Yeah.
It's poison. They took poison.
Yeah,
they just died from taking poison.
They misread or misunderstood or something.
Dude, the media today is kind of spooky with their hatred of Trump is getting in the way of the accuracy of some people's reporting of the news. And that's a perfect example. By resorting to clickbait and saying that they heard it from Trump, that's not what he said. What he's talking about is a different kind of chloroquine. There's more than one different kind of it, right?
Right.
But if they just said, real simply, that these people died, please be careful. There is more than one different kind of chloroquine.
Yeah.
And chloroquine hasn't been shown definitively to work yet. And it's not necessarily safe to take. If they said that, that would be great. But instead, they had to say the president told people to take it. But that's not what he said. What he said is that there's hope, and we're hoping that this could be a cure or this could be a treatment. That's what he said. But that's what everybody's saying. Like, if you go and read articles about that, when doctors are talking about potential treatments, there's a bunch of different ones. There's IV vitamin C. There's chloroquine. There's so it's this chloroquine, which is like an old school malaria medication, and then Z-Pax. They're talking about, what is that called? Zithromycin? How do you say that?
I don't know.
You know, but that antibiotic, they're saying that that may have some effect. But these are may. You know, that's what they're saying. Like, it's people who are scrambling for an answer, who are trying to help people, not sure if this is, you know, definitely going to work or not going to work, but it shows some promise. That's what Trump talked about. Like, you can't give him a hard time for talking about what doctors are talking about, because legitimate people are talking about that combination of things. Like, just because you hate Trump, you can't distort this and make it seem like Trump did something irresponsible by talking about this hopeful disease medication, and these people took the wrong version of it and died. Like, that's a cautionary tale. It's not a chance to shit on Trump. But everything's a chance to shit on Trump. It's so exhausting.
It's so exhausting. That is the Joe Rogan podcast, and he's absolutely 100% right about that. It, number one, yes, it is exhausting. But number two, if you can have something that has shown promise and has given approval for treatment, to give some sort of hope to people that have the coronavirus and with these other issues that they're having, a doctor believes this would be a worthwhile treatment for them when no other treatment's available. And you're saying that, oh, no. All you're doing is I hope people die because they're using this treatment to kill people. You know, it's, give me a break. You know, it's so exhausting. You know, even a reporter asked him about this today. Here, take a listen.
You do promote these medicines extensively here. How do you not go so far as to be giving medical advice? And you said yesterday you might take some of these medicines even though you don't have symptoms. Are you still planning to do that? And how do you calibrate being enthusiastic and not playing doctor?
Because I want people to live, and I'm seeing people dying. And I've seen people that are going to die without it. And you know the expression, when that's happening, they should do it. What really do we have to lose? We also have, this medicine's been tested for many years for malaria and for lupus, so it's been out there. So it's a very strong, powerful medicine, but it doesn't kill people. We have some very good results and some very good tests. You've seen the same test that I have. In France, they had a very good test. They're continuing. But we don't have time to go and say, gee, let's take a couple of years and test it out, and let's go and test with the test tubes and the laboratories. We don't have time. I'd love to do that. But we have people dying today. As we speak, there are people dying.
All right, and then he goes on a little bit more from that. This is good. This is good, President Trump, and that's the way I think he should be handling this. And, you know, shame on all the people that put the headlines in there. President Trump, based on the advice of President Trump, this person died because they took took something that was supposed to kill the algae in their fish tank. Shame on all those people. 314-436-7900. That's the number. We'll take some of your calls coming up on Overnight America KMOX. We had a text message come in at 314-436-7900. A text message from Stan in Texas. He said, I was involved in an accident last summer, now in a wheelchair. I wanted to come back to Illinois where I live, back to Illinois where I have a lot of family members. They told me to stay away. You're better off in Texas. Our state government is really bad. Now I know why they said that. Thank you to all healthcare workers. You are our heroes. Thank you, loyal listening. Thank you, Stan, for that text message. Good to hear from you. Let's go to Daryl, who's calling in. Welcome to Overnight America, Daryl.
Hey, thanks a lot for taking my call.
Sure.
I need to preface first of all by saying that the report that I heard, the source I heard this report from, went out of his way to say, do not doctor this person. And I think I've got your back when I say to anyone that's going to hear what I'm about to say, do not try to doctor this person. I'm not going to bring up her name. And no one should go out of their way to do any doxing. Now, the Arizona couple that did the fish cleaner thing, here, another very popular YouTuber, podcaster, maybe not quite as big of an audience as Rogan, but a guy whose name rhymes with louder. I think you might be familiar with him.
Sure, yeah.
He went out of his, he had a guy do some extensive research on this couple. And here's what they found out. First off, I think everyone has recognized, even though they've not necessarily said it out loud, that this was a colossally stupid thing to do. I mean, really singularly stupid.
Right.
So stupid that this researcher got to know this woman a little bit. And he found out two things. One's been widely reported. The other is not. One, the woman that did this, that went on the show, I don't remember, I think it was MSNBC, I could be mistaken about that, and said, please don't listen to anything the president has to say. Hmm. You know, that woman from her hospital bed said that he is not to be trusted. Mm-hmm. That woman was a very prolific donator, for lack of a better word, to the Democratic Party, to the DNC. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Number two, that has not been widely reported, is that this woman also had seen an actual trial. She was found not guilty, but a trial for abusing the husband that finally did die a month or so ago.
Hmm.
So I'm not sure that woman was that incredibly stupid after all.
Yeah. Well, okay, that's an interesting conspiracy theory, but I will say this. Number who in their right mind would think that consuming fish tank cleaner would be an effective source of medicine? No one in their right mind would do that. Yeah, that's the underlining issue here. There's got to be something else with it, and obviously, no one would do that. It was poison that the thing that was consumed, and there's no question about it. It was poison, not medicine. But the problem is that you have a lot of people and these commentators on the CNNs and the MSNBCs of the world that make it sound like that is what was prescribed by the president, and that is equally as insane.
Yeah, both of them, all of the above. So, and you know, she's disappeared from the news now. I don't know if there's investigation going on, but you know, Crowder is not necessarily going to, because he was pretty much as vague about it as I could be, because there, you know, he didn't want to get in trouble, and I don't want to get you in trouble. But this is what we know now.
There's no reason, to look it up. But the other point that I think we could be making about this is the damage that was intended for this story, which is try to put some doubt, try to throw some stones at the president. Though unwarranted, it doesn't matter. People still bring it up today as if it was something that he prescribed. It's today, you know, and the ripple effects are still there. Just goes to show you. Yeah, that's what it is. All right, thanks, Daryl. Have a good night. We're going to hook up with our friend Drex in Canada in a few minutes, and I always enjoy our conversations. It seems like we do talk a lot about Corona, and Vancouver's been going through this a lot longer than we have here in St. Louis. Here's one other moment from the press conference today, and I think it's worth repeating, that President Trump and pretty much everyone looking at the healthcare workers, the first responders, the doctors, the surgeons, the ones that are just working so much overtime at the moment that they can't get away, and they're separating themselves from their family because they are deathly afraid that if they were to catch it, they would accidentally give it to their family too. But they have an oath and a duty to try to help other people. I just think it's so great. So great.
I also want to note today is Palm Sunday and the beginning of Holy Week for Christians in America and all around the world. While we may be apart from one another, as you can see from our great churches, our great pastors and ministers are out there working very hard, but we may be apart. We can use this time to turn to reflection and prayer and our own personal relationship with God. I would ask that all Americans pray for the heroic doctors and nurses, for the truck drivers and grocery store workers, and for everyone fighting this battle. I had mentioned yesterday where I see the nurses rushing into hospitals, and they're putting on their outfits and they're putting on their masks and goggles in some cases. They're rushing into war. They're rushing into war. And I see people from apartment houses screaming and shouting and singing their praises.
All right. That was a nice part of the press conference from earlier. So I got more from this press conference. We'll get to a few other comments, too. And we're going to hook up with our friend Drex in just a few minutes. So excited for that. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. Oh, yeah. This is what we do on Sunday nights. We're live with you. You can always text the show. If you ever wanted to ask Drex a question, you can do that, too, through that text line. All right, let's bring up our friends in Canada. For once, we might be able to get to them before they get to us. Let's spy on them for a moment.
All right, welcome back. 877-399-9898. It is The Shift live across Canada on the Chorus Radio Network. Your calls, we'll get to them a little bit later on.
I feel like I'm doing
also,
something
Also, Bobby,
wrong
coming up
listening.
Next hour, I want to dig into
now,
this.
Keep in mind they have different regulations in Canada, so hopefully he doesn't say anything he shouldn't.
Of this woman leaving a church parking lot on CNN.
All right, let's take a listen here.
See this?
I did.
Yeah.
He's a couple of minutes early.
And she said that she is coveting Christ's blood.
Yeah.
When she was asked, how are you protecting yourself from the coronavirus? So I thought that was interesting because
a
lot of
Drex setting up some of the other things he's getting
went
to
online today for their church services. Our buddy Matt,
boy.
Who works at Global in Calgary.
This is weird listening to him. It really is strange.
Did. So he usually directs the news, but he was looking after all the church's live streams today to make sure that everybody could get the message, right? Because a lot of people,
I wonder if their producers are listening to us right now and realizing that we're dipping in on them for once.
Log on online and go to church that way. So a pastor in Florida got arrested.
Hey, this ain't bad. Look, he's trying to hit the marker knowing that we never get to things on time.
We'll get to that a little bit later on. All right, let's check in.
He has a little intro in place, too.
Let's dip in on Wrecker and see what he's doing.
There is no dipping in on Wrecker. I was listening to you this time.
Oh, he beat us to it this time. You're a smart one, aren't you?
Well, no, we tried, and we got back a couple minutes early, and I thought, I wonder what it's like to dip in and spy on Drex like he does for us every week. And here we are, dipping in on you.
Hey, listen, I know you go to church. What are you guys doing at the moment? Are you just attending online, or what are you doing?
Yep. It's live streaming, and a lot of churches have adapted well before this difficult time. A lot of them would offer something online. It's become more affordable, just like building home studios has become more affordable, video streaming and equipment and switchers and things like that, a lot more affordable than they were just, 10 or 15 years ago. So in some cases, like even the local church I attend here, they make things easy, even though they have a system. Sometimes it's not easy when you don't have the same tech people in the building, the ones that would normally set it up. So you can just pop up your cell phone and live stream it to social media, and it does the job pretty
too,
well,
yeah.
too. Yeah, so, and, everyone has the ability.
Yeah, you're focusing on the pastor, so you only need that one camera shot, right? So, yeah, I just mentioned one of our colleagues, Manny, who's one of the directors at Global Television in Calgary. I was looking after all the live streams of his church this morning. I think he did an Insta story, and I think he was looking after about three or four different streams.
Yeah, and pretty much all the different denominations and the churches. And I had a rabbi on the show today. They're all doing the exact same thing. They're catching up, technologically speaking, and trying to adapt to the way the times are. And they hope that we can get through this quick enough, and then we can maybe come back out of it with a greater appreciation for what we have on Sundays.
I don't know where I saw this, but one church to help the old folks that can't get out of their care facilities, they gifted them iPads so they can watch the service on Sundays. That's kind of cool, right?
Wow. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
I wonder how big that congregation is. That's a fascinating thing. You think that most people would have computers or phones or whatever it is, though it may not be as convenient. Some of them even are good enough to have apps or whatnot, so you can watch it on your TV where you don't have to worry about streaming it
from
the computer. You're getting real
Some
fancy,
churches have apps? Really? That's kind of crazy.
Yeah,
it makes sense, though. Old businesses, too.
I guess it is possible for them to do that, but some of them use different websites or services that their streaming service has a site, and you just have to look them up on that, whatever app may be. So it's easier. It may be an extra step, but people get through it. What about you? How are you getting through things? You've been home for a while now.
Yeah, this is, I think this is the start of week four from the house. It's kind of weird, man. I was saying to Bobby earlier in the show that I got outside today because I got a yard, and I cleaned the patio just to get outside, just to get some fresh air. That'll do.
Yeah. We're going to have some nice temperatures here this week in St. Louis. On Tuesday and Wednesday, we're looking at, lower 80s, that Fahrenheit. I should have done the conversion before I said that out loud. Let's see, 80 Fahrenheit to Celsius is 26 and a half, roughly, 26.6.
Oh, that sounds pleasant.
Yeah. So we're going to get that. I might have to grab the power washer and start working outside a little bit. And, you know, that's going to be perfect days to work outside.
How are things for you, man, working from the basement? Is your wife okay with it? Are you keeping her awake?
You know, at night, I'm a little bit worried because my basement's open. So really, it's easy for the sound to travel up into the bedroom. And for the first couple of nights, I was a distraction. So she had to put on a sound machine in her bedroom to drown out the sound of me doing the show in the basement. So I feel more comfortable now where I can go full volume. I don't have to make it sound like I'm trying to restrict myself. And overall, it's like, you know, the bathroom trips. I drink a lot of water at night, so I got to go to the bathroom a lot. She said, I had no idea how often you go to the bathroom until you're doing this. So she's somewhat adapting, and we're trying to get through it. I think she'll get used to it. Luckily, I haven't woke up the five-year-old once since I've been doing this, so that's good news.
What about grocery stores? Have you been in one yet? How is it? You're wearing a mask?
No, I'm not wearing a mask. I have a conflicted view on the mask. I don't think they're effective. So I almost feel like it's almost like it's more cosmetic than it is anything else. And some people call it the false sense of security. I do go to the grocery store, and luckily there's not a lot of people when I go to a grocery store. But the problem is not everyone gets the memo about the social distancing, right? So you go there and you think everyone gets it, and then you go there and not everyone gets it, and then there's someone that acts like they just crawled out from the bottom of a rock. Oh, what do you mean social distancing? Or, you know, then there's some people that don't respect that sort of thing, and that's when you get a little bit worried. But otherwise, no, I haven't had any issues. I'll shop here and there. If I need to get something, it doesn't scare me to go and get food.
I've been shopping a lot smaller, like smaller places like in my local area. Much easier that way.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess a smart thing. Do you find it, is it the crowd controls easier at a smaller place?
Less people, more produce, more stuff. Yeah, it's much easier that way. And I've found that I'm making more stuff for the house too, which makes things a lot easier.
Wow. So are you out of anything up there? Can you get a hold of toilet paper now, things like that?
I haven't needed to get any. That trip's probably going to come up in the next week or so. So I haven't seen any on the trips that I've done. I haven't seen any at all.
I go once in a while and get lucky. I haven't been able to find hand sanitizer because, you know, even though water and soap is much more effective, you got to have something in the car. So if you got to like pump gas, you want to, you know, clean your hands or whatever when you're not around a sink. So I haven't had a hard time finding that stuff.
Any local distilleries retooling for that? There's so many stories, right? Little booze places retooling and making sanitizer for everyone.
Yeah, I should. And we, you know, the brand Germex is made here in St. Louis. So they've been working around the clock.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. Oh, so they've been pumping that stuff.
That's handy for you guys then.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a way you can just pull up and, you know, honk your horn three times, flash your lights, and they come out and give you one. I don't know if that happens or not.
I wonder if you could order it online.
That's a good chance that you could. You know, I haven't really checked it. Yeah. Maybe I haven't really been too worried because I've been washing my hands. And I don't know about you. If you look at your hands right now, I've really need to start using more lotion. They're dry. They're red. They're kind of like, you know, you can tell that there's something going on with them, but I've never been a lotion guy in my entire life, but I think I might have to start using it now.
Oh, no. You're going to have to spend money on lotion? Oh, my goodness. Oh,
yeah.
No.
Well, no, the wife has it, so I don't have to worry about it.
So you're just going to steal your wife's nice hand cream. Okay. You're going to smell all florally and nice.
I know. She's got the good stuff and the bad stuff. The good stuff she hides in her nightstand. The bad stuff she puts out kind of like in the kitchen area, so if I just want a quick one.
Right.
And she encourages me to use the cheap, bad stuff. You know, that's like she put that out specifically for me so I can stay away from her good stuff.
But you like cheap, so that works just for you.
Oh, man. I'm all about if it's cheap, I'm fine with it. Yeah, I do everything I can. If there was a way to make good for your own lotion, I would probably have figured it out by now.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. I tell you what, going into week number four of doing it from the house, maybe I need to do one night from the station this week. I don't know. I'm getting a little stir crazy. I need to get out.
Wow. Would they let you do that if you requested it?
Yeah, I think they would. I think they would. We're in a separate room. I'll have to think about it. I'll have to think about it. Oh, man. It's interesting. Would I remember? Man, I don't think I even remember how to get there anymore. I don't remember the directions. I might have to punch it into the GPS. It's been so long. It's been so long, man. Hey, listen, I got to run a little bit early this morning, so I'm going to let you go. I'm going to go pay some bills. I got a bunch of calls I want to get to. But, hey, listen, I'm glad that we could check in tonight, both from our perspective homes, and say, hey, how's your basement? Yeah, how's your corner bedroom? Everything's good.
Yeah, I know. It's the same type of talk. But, man, you know, we're all adapting. We're doing our thing. It's good to hear your voice, Drex. Always good to hear your voice.
Be safe out there, Ryan Recker.
Thanks, Drex. All right, that does it for the late shift. A little early this time around, which is fine. We got some other things we can get to. And, you know, I do like to check in with him. It sounds like he's going through the same problems, the struggles that we're going through right now. Not all that bad. And, you know, it's weird in technology. There's just a little bit of a lag. But, you know, we make good. We make good. So that means we can take some calls here if you want at 314-436-7900. Or 800-925-1120. See, I've been getting some calls this weekend, too. Messages on Facebook, I meant to say. Some people have been messaging me on there, Grant and Frank. That's pretty cool. Thank you for those people that are giving me messages on Facebook. If you're not already liking the Ryan Recker Radio Facebook page, you should probably go and do that. It'd just be easier for you. I can't guarantee that it'll cure you of the virus, but it can't. But then again, it might make you feel a little bit better that you're stuck inside and you get one extra thing you could laugh at, which is me. You can laugh at me. I got a couple of things, from the press conference earlier I didn't get a chance to play. How about this one? Vice President Pence. No, how about we back up? On Fox News Sunday, the Surgeon General Adams had a comment to say, and this is a lot of reporters were asking about this very specific comment about the U.S.'s response so far to the coronavirus.
How bad is this epidemic going to be in America, and how long will it last?
Well, it's tragically fitting that we're talking at the beginning of Holy Week, because this is going to be the hardest and the saddest week of most Americans' lives, quite frankly. This is going to be our Pearl Harbor moment.
All right, I'm going to stop it right there. So this is the part that they're quoting for him. This is going to be the hardest and saddest moment of our lives. This is our Pearl Harbor moment. But that's all what the headlines say. Let's listen to the whole clip and see what it is in context, okay?
Be the hardest and the saddest week of most Americans' lives, quite frankly. This is going to be our Pearl Harbor moment, our 9/11 moment, only it's not going to be localized. It's going to be happening all over the country. And I want America to understand that. But I also want them to understand that the public, along with the state and the federal government, have the power to change the trajectory of this epidemic. You mentioned Italy and Spain. They had a very, very hard time, and they're still having a hard time, but they seem to have reached their peak and are coming back down on the other side. And you say weeks, months behind, I would actually push back a little bit. When you look at their trajectory, from about a month ago is when they really started to lean into their aggressive mitigation efforts, their really aggressive mitigation efforts. And so I want Americans to understand that as hard as this week is going to be, there is a light at the end of the tunnel if everyone does their part for the next 30 days. We're seeing Washington, actually where this started, doing a much better job. California's trajectory has leveled off. And so there is hope, but we've got to all do our part.
All right, so that's the message. There is hope, but we have to do our part. We've gone through tough things in this country. So we go back and look at, you know, there's people alive today that remember Pearl Harbor, though those people may be up there in age, and there may be very few of them alive today that actually remember hearing the news about Pearl Harbor. Very, very few around. However, you could also equate it to September 11th. A lot of people do remember that. If you're under, it's hard to believe, but that was almost 20 years ago. Whew, wow. But if you're under a certain age, you remember what it was like and what that felt like as a country when you were going through a national tragedy. And that's kind of how it feels right now. There's certain parts of that that you can relate to. And you can say, yeah, I remember the shock of understanding that things are different, right? This is just something hit us hard and we're angry, but we're going to get through this together. And you know what? We have this sort of enemy, this enemy that hit us hard. This virus is the enemy. Now, they don't play the full clip, nor do they want to put the full clip into perspective. Let's fast forward to the press conference from earlier today. And when the question was brought up, listen to this.
The Surgeon General this morning was talking about the coming week being among the hardest and saddest weeks of our lives. He was talking about this being our Pearl Harbor, our 9/11 moment. You all are talking about glimmers of hope and stabilization. How are the American people supposed to bridge those different descriptions that they're getting from this administration?
I don't think they're so different. I think we all know that we have to reach a certain point, and that point is going to be a horrific point in terms of death. But it's also a point at which things are going to start changing. We're getting very close to that level right now. And the next week and a half, 2 weeks are going to be, I think they're going to be very difficult. At the same time, we understand what they represent and what that time represents. And hopefully we can get this over with, because this is a very horrible thing for the world. And look, we're one country out of 182 now that have 182 countries.
All right. Look at it that way. So they always focus in on something to take it out of context. Why? Because the Surgeon General, in the same response, he gave it at the start. He said, this is going to be a difficult time. This is going to be like our Pearl Harbor 9/11, where we're going to have to get through this, a difficult time. He continues his statement, and before they even ask the next question, at the end of his statement, he says, there is light at the end of the tunnel. There is hope. What is the first thing the reporter says? How can you say there's hope after what the Surgeon General said? Completely misleading the entire statement that was before it. Let's go to Dr. Fauci, by the way. He also had something to say about this.
How can you, on the one hand, have said yesterday that this is really going to be a bad week at the same time that we're talking about the light at the end of the tunnel? It seems to be inherently contradictory, but it really isn't. And it has to do with what we explained before about the lag in when you look at the indications that Dr. Birx and the president was talking about, where you see a flattening out of cases, and you don't see the realization of what that means until 2 weeks later. So right now we're seeing, as we all said correctly, that this is probably going to be a really bad week. That is a reflection of what happened 2.5 weeks ago. So if we start seeing now a flattening or a stabilization of cases, what you're hearing about potential light at the end of the tunnel doesn't take away from the fact that tomorrow, the next day, it's going to look really bad. So we've got to make sure we realize we're always talking about a 2.5 week lag. So I want to make sure, because I think a couple of people asked that question. It's really not incompatible with what we're saying. Now, with regard to what do we tell the American people, what we've been telling them all along, that the only tool, but the best tool we have, is mitigation.
All right. Then he goes on a little bit longer. So he's saying light at the end of the tunnel is we're looking at some positive indicators because there's a lag, meaning that, you know, we're starting to see these cases, these testing things coming in. You don't always see that right on the offset. It's sometimes a couple of weeks after. And that's what we're starting to see, the wave of it now. And that's where we're going to see how bad it really is. Now we're starting to see it. So I hope that shed some light into it. There is light at the end of the tunnel. Things could be better than they seem. We're going to have to wait and see. It's a big part of it. You know, every night we've been playing a patriotic song or something patriotic. In fact, I want to do that this hour, and we're going to do that when we come back from break. But if you have any comments, you can call or text at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. Yeah, you see, the interesting thing is that when asked about this treatment thing a couple of times today during the press conference, Dr. Fauci gets up and they were going to ask him a question. And President Trump said, you've asked the same question 18 times. We're moving on. He was tired of it. And good for him. You know, good for him to do that. I mean, sometimes it's a necessity. Like the AP tried to ask him some questions. Listen to how he ended this one question. You know, at this point, I don't even remember what the question was by the AP.
FEMA, the military, what they've done is a miracle. What they've done is a miracle in getting all of this stuff. What they've done for states is incredible. And you should be thanking them for what they've done, not always asking wise guy questions.
Always asking them wise guy questions. All right, this is good. Good President Trump. I think he's been handling himself very, very, very well during the last couple of weeks. And it's funny, I keep seeing text messages come in from the same guy, And I really already responded to this, but however, if you want to keep sending me links, you can. That's fine. But if you really feel up to the challenge, you can call in because, you know, I'm done talking about this unless you want to call. Let me give the phone number again because we will take some of your calls in the next hour at 314-436-7900. And I know WrestleMania was the last couple of days. I was going to talk about that. I'm not a wrestling fan. I'm more interested in how it felt because there was no audience and this was pre-recorded. Okay, quick spoiler alert. I had someone tell me this from earlier, but Rob Gronkowski, for some reason, is in the wrestling ring for WrestleMania. He's the former tight end that used to play for the New England Patriots. He won a title belt at WrestleMania. What? The tight end, Rob Gronkowski. Isn't that something? All right, so if you watched WrestleMania tonight, what was that like? What was it like watching it with no fans in the audience? Was it weird? I'd like to hear your review of it, if it was any good. Also, I want to bring this up. We've been playing patriotic songs every night on Overnight America. It's a good thing to be reminded that we will get through this. We'll get through this together as Americans. This one less a song. This is an awesome bit by Red Skelton, The Pledge of Allegiance on Overnight America.
I remember a teacher that I had. Now, I went through the seventh grade. I went to the seventh grade. I left home when I was 10 years old because I was hungry. And I used to, this is true. I work in the summer and I go to school in the winter. But I had this one teacher. It was the principal of the Harrison School in Vincennes, Indiana. To me, this was the greatest teacher, a real sage of my time, anyhow. He had such wisdom. And we were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day. And he walked over, this little old teacher, Mr. Laswell was his name. Mr. Laswell, and he says, he says, I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester, and it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word? I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom, wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United, that means that we have all come together. States, individual communities that have united into 48 great states, 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose, and that's love for country. And to the Republic, a state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people, and it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people. For which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation, and justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others. For all. Which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance: under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer, and that would be eliminated from schools too?
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.